This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. I honestly don't know which flex is worse. Watt posting his not-so-candid beach pics or Biscuit paying God knows what just so he could say he was one of the few that got to consume some stranger's apartment sushi in a pandemic. It's a fucking toss-up, I tell ya.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back, baby. Bro, what's going on? How are you, Sebastian Maniscalco on the other side?
All right. Welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Show. It is a Monday morning here in Los Angeles, 11:09. We film earlier in the week to distribute later on in the week. Couple surprises coming up throughout the year. Not going to tell you about them, but just be aware and pay attention to your podcast, your Pete and Sebastian Show podcast. Nothing, man. It's I gotta tell you, it's January 19th. I think January 19th. Yeah. I've been fantastic. I've been doing a dry January. Drank once. Which is a big thing because 2020 we were knocking them back like it's going out of style.
Wow!
And not only the drinking, it was the eating too. The steaks, the cheese, the foie gras. It was a lot of food. And yeah. I have a doctor's appointment January 31st to check the levels to see where I'm at.
You going to him? He coming to you?
I'm going right in. You know, I'm tired.
This is amazing. You got to go risk your life to see if you're fucking healthy. Unbelievable.
I got to go risk my life to see if I'm dying.
Yeah.
So,
good news, bad news. Did a full check. You're not dying, but I'm pretty sure you picked up the fucking Wuhan special halfway through the doorway. So, go home, put a thermometer in your mouth, and keep us posted. Shit, fucking. By the way, I'd say, all right, here we go. Here we go. One of the listeners found Chen, by the way, the guy I was talking about. Someone tweeted to me, patient zero from Wuhan, from the lab, first person.
Oh,
we
got him.
Ah, listen, I think we got him, but if Jack Dorsey was in charge of this conversation, he would have shut us down 10 minutes ago already, right? I mean, this. I don't know. You can't say anything without saying that that everything you say is a rumor, but this guy sent me a tweet showing me an article that a woman who was in the lab in Wuhan, who was known to be the first person to get the virus, patient zero, and she disappeared. She's gone. She vanished. No one can find her. China can't find her. They can't find her. They put a bug in you when you're born, and you're telling me you can't find her? They put a little dog chip in everybody. I swear to God, they do over there, bro. Fucking gloves are off. If I ever get to meet XI, boy, oh boy, I'd love to meet Mr. XI.
Pete is referring to the president of China, Xi Jinping.
Oh my god.
You look good. Are you on one of those good runs? I feel like, you know, we're in hiding, like, I dare say, Anne Frank, and you have good days and bad days, right?
Well, listen, I feel good. I feel like I am on my way to hitting my optimal health level. I have started it's a thing called Prolon.
Fucking, you do so much shit I never heard of, bro. It's crazy.
It's I'm doing everything. Nothing helps.
What's Prolon?
Basically a 5-day quote-unquote fast. It's supposed to mimic intermittent fasting. I'm eating, I just started today. I'm eating like protein bars or... Not protein bars, but it's their, they call it an L bar. It's a bar.
Right.
And some oil, tablets, some tomato soup, olives, crackers. It's a five-day thing. They give you a whole box, and they give you each day what you're supposed to have, basically to cleanse out 10, 11 months of pure, unfiltered food and alcohol consumption.
Right, right, right. Listen, that was to mentally survive. You ate all that. We all did. Now, olive oil and crackers, that's part
no,
of it.
No, olives. I don't know. Listen.
I love olives.
I'm just doing, believe it, these are not the olives you like. These are, I didn't even look at these olives yet.
They
these
don't got olives. The red thing in the middle? The little, no. Whatever that leaf thing is?
These olives come in a plastic pouch.
What the?
This is like olives where you go to the store and they're like laying in juice.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you dip your finger in and pull one out of a jar at home and you lick your finger. We don't got that going on? No? Oh.
None of this.
Why don't you just do a nice Sicilian diet? Fresh mozzarella, olives, all, you know?
I'm putting together a 30-day program after I get off this Prolon starting Saturday. I did buy the book, The Mediterranean Diet, which, you know, also I have read in the past that you should eat a diet similar to where your ancestors lived. For example, my ancestors come from Sicily near the water.
Right.
So it's in your DNA to probably have fish because they live by the water and fish was readily available. What are you nodding your head for?
Listen, that sounds fucking fantastic if you're fucking from where you're from. You know, if you're reading a book and you're from Poland, what the fuck? I'm supposed to eat kielbasa the rest of my life? Fuck that book. You know, it works great because you're from Sicily. Who wouldn't want to eat all that delicious shit there? I mean, come on. You just think of Putin. I picture if Putin had a big plate of pasta in front of him, I feel like his stomach couldn't handle that. It just seems like he needs, like, meats, like you're saying, and, like, vodka, right? And that's what makes a Russian go. It's like a car that takes special unleaded gas. You're not going to fill it up with regular.
Yeah,
dude,
exactly.
That makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah.
That's why instinctually we have our heritage food on Sunday, you know, because, like, no matter what, every family does, right? Whatever nationality, they seem to have their homeland at least on Sunday. It's like their body's saying, at least on Sunday, give us what we
need.
Yeah, exactly. What we were built for.
Yeah.
Fucking gonna feed a deer meat. I'm down with this book, bro. You gotta be careful with your words. People are tweeting out they're buying the Viking left and right because of you. So. You don't want them going out getting this fucking Prolong thing unless you're down with it.
By the way, I
keep cursing. Damn.
It's okay. I got the. I did an extra spray on the Viking today. Whoa. Oh, my God. I got to tell you, man.
Yeah.
Adds a whole different flavor profile with an extra spray on the chest. It's like coming up through. You ever, again, you're not a big cologne guy, but you know you got something going on when it's just penetrating through the opening in your neck here. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll go down just to get a little sniff of it.
Yes. That's nice. Just a little treat for yourself, little pick-me-up. I love it, man. Oh, I've done that with a good underarm deodorant. Just went like that a couple of times. Just get me back, rebalanced, you know?
Oh, so...
You ever have the cologne going and you could see someone in a room wondering who it is and you just want to give them that look and go, it's me. I love it, bro.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get in a room full of people in 2031.
Yeah. That sounds about the gold date with Fauci. This guy's throwing out now.
This guy's still on. Biden said, yeah, you're going to be my guy again. Can we get a new guy?
Oh, my gosh.
Can we just mix things up a little bit? He's changing everybody else in the cabinet, but Fauci's staying.
That's
right?
I don't get it. We got to be careful. I know I've been doing too much message reading, but we do have a very big fan base also that listens to the show that are, you know, 65 and above. And apparently they've been feeling a little lately with our words that, you know, and I know as you do, we have more respect for the people of that age than of any level. They're wise beyond their years.
So what's the problem?
You know, when we say like Fauci and anyone over 80 should maybe, you know, go hit some golf balls or walk a dog, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So they got a problem with that?
They do. They, you know, I mean, they do, but it's like... Yeah, I mean, my mom is 75. Every time I call her, she answers, it hangs up, and I call her back. And she goes, I hit the wrong button. And I know you're going to hit the wrong button. You're 75. I expect you to hit the wrong button.
Okay. Let me tell the listener, and I haven't been reading any of these messages because...
No, I love it. I love your attitude offline.
Listen, my dad's 74 years old. He's still working. Every conversation I have with him on the phone, I said, would you hang it up? It's over. It's done. Okay? I'm telling my own family this. He cuts hair for a living. I understand. This guy's been cutting hair now for 55 plus years. And he's coming to the end of the road. His body's falling apart, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking to him on FaceTime the other day. His finger's wrapped up, right? I go, what happened to your finger? He goes, cut my finger while I was cutting somebody's hair. This guy's cutting off his appendages. Right? He can't even see the hair anymore. He's cutting his fingers off, this guy.
Now, does that haircut continue? Does he look at the guy and go, listen, I'm going to go bandage this up. You go, you could check out the TV hovering above you for 5 minutes. I'll be right back. Luckily, none of the blood landed on you. Wink, wink.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think in hairdressing or barber, if your beautician is bleeding, you got to leave the chair. No, I mean, like, you see blood from in the mirror, you're like, what's that? Nah, I cut my finger. And I go, I take the apron off. I go, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Without a doubt, man. Even if you've never cut your finger before, you're clearly having an off day. You know? I'm right there with you. So he bandaged up and he went back at it, man.
No, he's back at it. But again, it's hard for him to kind of give it up because, you know, it's been his identity for the last 55 years.
Absolutely.
But I'm telling him, I said, listen, new chapter in life. This will allow you to have more time with, you know, your grandkids. You could come out here and, you know, pitch a flag for a month. You could go to... you know, Sicily and stay there for 3 months.
That's just nice.
You know, you could do things maybe that you weren't able to do in the past. So he's coming around. But what I'm saying is with the Fauci thing and stuff like that, it's just like, all right already. You know, a quarterback has to hang it up too. You know, there's going to be a time when Tom Brady, by the way, I don't know what the hell this guy's on, but 41, 42 years old. This guy's in the Super Bowl almost again with a foreign team. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Is it him, or is he just picking the right teams?
All I know is Belichick is golfing now, so I think we got our answer with that. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable. It's also a guy like Tom Brady too. You know, he's just been around and done so much that it's like a guy like Watt. They come into a locker room, everybody's gonna work and try their hardest because these two, you know, guys like that are gonna. You know, I felt like. Even after Derek Jeter wasn't as good as he used to be, just having him in that clubhouse just made everything professional and tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You almost have to have the guy around just to keep the ship on course. But speaking of football, on 60 Minutes last night, they had a guy by the name of Alex Smith, quarterback for the Washington football team.
Nicely done, bro. I'm gonna lean hard into the whole Indian thing. Good job.
So, for the listeners that don't know, Alex Smith got drafted in 2005 by the San Francisco 49ers, went to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we know what happened there with that situation. I forget the guy's name, what's the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback name? Just signed $500 million.
Mahomes, yeah.
Mahomes. And then he broke his fibula. You know the story?
Yeah, bad break. right?
Bad like break. Actually, Watt was involved in the tackle.
Oh, I remember more than the break is Watt waving people over frantically, right? I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, so basically what he had was very rare in football to see. You generally see this type of injury when guys in the military step on an IUD.
Holy and shit.
And really? Basically, yeah. So this is a testament to this guy, because basically they were going to have to possibly amputate his leg off because it had a really bad bacterial infection.
Oh, my.
But Alex said, do whatever you can to save my leg. Not only do they save his leg, this guy comes back and ends up taking the Washington football team to the playoffs this year. The guy's playing football again.
Unbelievable. Miracle.
But now, I'm looking at his leg.
Yeah.
His leg, from the knee down, looks shot. It looks... He's able to move and run and what have you. God forbid if something happens in your life. And I'm always amazed at these people.
Yeah.
Do you think you have the internal fire to persevere? I mean, you see like a guy who's got no arms from the elbow down and he's shoveling cement as a construction worker. You know, like you see these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it? You got it? Or God forbid you lose an arm, do you go, Ma, that's it. Fuck this. I mean, like, what is it?
I don't know, right? I mean, I've seen that too. Like, one guy had no arms, and I saw him painting with a brush in his mouth with his teeth, you know? And he was fantastic. I don't know if I'm doing that.
I was watching the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO last night. This guy basically won a PGA championship, which I didn't know, on a broken leg. Every time he shot the ball, his leg was pain. And the caddy told him, you know what, you might want to quit. He goes, quit. I'm winning this tournament. I'm like, God, this guy, I get like a little hangnail and I got to take a break. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I have that in me.
Well, that one, I mean, I know a lot of men that would golf with a broken leg just to be out there. That one.
They don't want to go home.
And there you go, man. And the love of golf is so strong. But, you know, some of the other things you were just talking about, like what was it? How'd this start? What were you saying?
Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, but see, like with Alex Smith, though, it's like if you... It's a miracle, but it is also like, see, this is the first thing when they go, do whatever you can to save the leg. If I was a doctor, I'd be like, I am. You know? Like, I already am. You know, like, you think you ever go like, listen, I have a good chance of saving this leg, but I got a dinner appointment at 8 p.m. and I cannot be late. So if this thing clots up, you're on your own.
The doctor's left. And talked to the other doctors and said, listen, he wants us to save it, so cancel our dinner plan.
Oh, I tell you, I had him pegged for an amputated guy, but nope, save the leg. Yeah, there goes that fucking dinner. Right there with you, bro. It's like, you know, what do you think they come in and go, guys, we got to try extra hard. He hit us with it, do everything we can. We can't half-ass this one.
Yeah, it's like, call in the Dr. Jenkins from Bahamas because he's on vacation, so we got to get him back here to figure this out.
And then when you save the leg, I mean, it's Alex Smith's leg, so if it's saved, it's still on Alex Smith. So, you know, it would be one thing if, like, he was a gimp in real life. Then you saved the leg, and he's like, you know what? I think I could quarterback for the fucking Washington football team. That would be like, holy shit. You know, but if the leg is going to be fixed, then why wouldn't he go back to being... I mean, that's the thing, though, is there, like when they fixed it, were they like, man, we'll fix it, but there's a good chance you won't be able to walk on it. And he's like, walk on it. I'm playing on it. Was that like what happened?
He had so much determination. And also he did his rehabilitation at this center. It's a military rehab center where only military people go.
Oh, wow.
But he got a pass, and he got a pass through the Pentagon. The Pentagon had to give him permission to go there and get rehabilitated, right?
Yeah.
Also, with Tiger Woods, too, this documentary, I don't know if anybody saw it on HBO Max, he was training with the Navy SEAL. Did you know this?
No. Training with the Navy SEAL?
Shortly after his father died, he was training with Navy SEALs. He was going to go into the military. Now, I don't know, you know, if it's just Tiger Woods and he showed up at the military base and said, hey, guys, you mind if I jump out of the helicopters with you guys and see how this works? The access that you have, best golfer of all time, wants to go and train with the SEALs, you get in. You know,
bro, you're one more De Niro movie away from fucking going there, and I'm going with you. Are you kidding me? I'm your N1. We'd already be doing it if the panty didn't kick in, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no, man.
But
there's so many things.
What motivation? Can you imagine working out with Navy SEAL or working out with wounded veterans, the fucking manliest men in the world, and you're sitting there, you're not going to do one more set? 46, 47. You know, oh, man, that's motivation.
Well, out of all the people that had his type of injury, he said about 1,000 people had his type of injury, Alex Smith's injury. He's in the top 10 of people that came out of it and is doing things far beyond what anybody else is doing. So wow. It's just, I thought it was inspiring. Yeah. Check it out. It's on 60 Minutes. I typically don't, I used to be a big fan of 60 Minutes, but now it's, I like those feel good stories. I'm not so into the, politics, when they bring up the politics. I'm just trying to get away from politics, man. I'm trying to watch things to detach myself from the pandemic and politics. However, again, I hate to get into this pandemic and the COVID and what have you, but this has been another one of these weeks where, you know, you're trying to figure out things to do, and I don't know if this is in Fredonia or not, but there's a pond here that we take the kids to feed the ducks. Okay?
Feeding the ducks, yeah.
Okay. There is a sign. Right when you walk down to feed the ducks, do not feed the wildlife. And that's where I break out the bread and start giving the kids the bread to feed the ducks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
I'm looking around to see if anybody's there, maybe a park ranger, maybe, you know, some, I could tell, like, I don't know if you do this when you go out and you're doing something maybe you're not supposed to do. But I could size up someone who's going to have a problem with my bread feeding, right? You ever do that?
You do the look around. You get a, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're saying. You're like, oh, yeah, this lady's going to have a problem.
Yeah, just on the look alone. Mm-hmm. Just the way she was walking. The pond is near like a hiking area, so there's a lot of hikers there. But it was like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, we generally go, nobody's there by the pond. Saturday morning, we decided about 9:30, let's go feed the ducks. Well, everybody had the same idea, so we go there, right?
Yeah.
Now, place has got about, I'd say, 10 families walking around. No one's feeding the ducks, right? Now, I know everybody's got bread with them, but nobody wants to take it out because everybody's afraid that someone's going to say, you can't feed the duck, you know?
Right, right. Too many people, yeah.
What do you think about this move? Is it appropriate to go, hey, guys, I know everybody's got bread here. My kids are dying to feed the ducks. So if you want to whip it out, and start feeding. Go right ahead. I ain't going to say nothing.
Yeah.
If you got a problem with this, just let me know now so I could, pinpoint who that is and go away from you to do our feeding.
Right.
Or do you just keep your mouth shut and no one feeds the ducks? What would you do?
Man, it's a tough call, bro. I mean, where you live, I probably wouldn't feed the ducks because everything is heightened as far as it's not laid back in L.A. It's like New York. Same thing, you know? Everybody's got a problem with everybody, I feel. Where I live, it's just not as many people. I don't know, man. I wouldn't do it.
Would you tell?
But if I saw somebody do it, then I'd turn to Sadie and be like, get the fucking bread out. It's on.
Yeah, but let's say it's something that you are not, let's say you didn't bring bread or you guys weren't going to participate in activity and you knew what they were doing was quote unquote against the rules. Are you the type of guy to go, hey, excuse me, you can't feed the ducks here?
Listen, that's on a sign-to-sign basis. Like, if it says clean up after your dog and you don't, then I'm going to be like, clean up after your dog. But feeding the ducks, that's...
Isn't that the same thing, though? It's a rule that's in place.
Why?
If it says curb your dog and nobody curbs their dog...
Well, that's shit on the ground. I do my own decipher, even with laws, you know? I mean, there's some laws I break, some I don't. You know what I'm saying? You can't abide by everyone. You know what I'm saying? The little ones, come on. So
I get it. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is the difference? Why can't we feed the ducks? For what?
Well, listen, because then they're going to, rely on human food, which that's what they say sometimes, because then they'll rely on human food. Well, great, because we'll always be doing this.
We're always there.
This is a fun thing always, to do.
Yeah. There's always going to be kids, and we're always going to have bread, and we'll feed the ducks for the rest of their lives. So,
yeah.
Serafina going, why can't we feed the ducks, Daddy? Now, I got to tell her. I got to tell her. We're really not supposed to feed the ducks.
Yeah.
Now, I'm basically teaching my daughter.
Life.
When there's nobody around, bend the rules.
Yeah, baby. It's a first life lesson. I love it. Listen, it's not all, with your little Bonnie and your little cartoons that your kids like. This is your first taste of the real world. I taught Sadie about a year ago. She's got it down to science now what a white lie is. White lie.
Well, Lana has a problem with white lies.
White lies? Because I do. Beautiful.
I thought white lies were like part of life, right? Isn't that part of the world?
Right. I mean, you know how many people's feelings I would have hurt with gifts through the years without the fucking white lie?
Yeah.
Which I'll get to your Christmas gift very soon. I have it on my list. Fantastic, bro. So what's Lana's problem with the white lie?
She'll go, what should I tell? Like, she'll ask me a random.
Right.
What should I tell them? Why can't we make the dinner?
Right.
I said, tell them that, Serafina's got, whatever, a Zoom. I don't know what it is. Like, Serafina's got something that she has to do. Tell them I got a podcast I'm doing at night. But she goes, you don't have a podcast at night. I go, it's the white lie. What are you going to tell them? We don't want to go with them because we can't stand them?
I mean, do you want to? I'm totally with you, bro. Does she not get the concept? What does she think? There's going to be a trial over this shit? By the way, I love the way you also go with the higher pitch so everyone knows a white lie's coming. You tell them. Sadie did it today. I was before the show. We got snow yesterday, and she's got a friend coming over for a play date. And her new neighbor, who she really likes a lot, the girl goes to me. I got a new sled. I'm going to blow it up. I'll be back out in 20 minutes. So I go in to Sadie, and I go, listen, your friend next door is going to ask you, I'm pretty sure, if you want to play. So I know you got your friend from school coming over that you never hung out alone with. So what are you going to do?
Oh, well, Dad, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I just want to play with my friend for... Should I just do a white lie? And I go, yes, do a white lie. White lie. Like what, Dad? And I go, you got to, you know. I go, you got plans. Boom. That's it. You know?
That's it.
That's not even a white lie. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It prevents hurt feelings, bro.
I agree, but Lana has a problem with the white lies.
You're thinking up your white lies. You're putting on your bedroom eyes. You say you're coming home, but you won't say when.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
No, with the Ducks, you know. So, yeah. So Serafina, so we got to go in the car now. Nobody feeds the Ducks. I got the bread and the whole thing. And then I got to go back in there. Yeah, it's like the only thing to do for kids, really, in Los Angeles is go feed the Ducks. And now we got to get in the car. It's like it's ridiculous what we think is an active Saturday morning now. This is the COVID Saturday morning. What do you want to do with the kids? Well, we could go feed the Ducks, and then maybe we could stop by and get a juice from the juice place, and then we could come back and then blow up the bouncy house and then go in the bouncy house, and then maybe for dinner go to Chick-fil-A drive through and they eat in the cut. What? This is what they're doing? Get the vaccine out.
Bro, I know. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of vaccine. If you were offered the vaccine right now, would you take it?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you know, we're not in the group.
Oh,
The health workers, the elderly, and then, you know, we're into, by the time we get it, it's going to be September, right?
Yeah. By the time we get it, we're not even going to need it. They're going to be like, you don't even have to take it. Enough people have already that you won't get it. You know, can I say something about the duck thing of feeding?
Yeah, go ahead.
We went this past weekend. Me, Sadie, and Jackie went to my mom's for, you know, a day and a half. Slept over. And, you know, where my mom and dad live is a golf course, and it's all like this enclosed area. So I'm walking with Sadie in the morning. I got the dog. And I'm telling you, there's like 7 or 8 deer just up on like the green of the golf course. So she starts walking slowly towards them. And you know how it's my whole life. You go towards a deer, it gives you the look, it stays still, and then it fucking runs away. Fucking things, they never let you get near them, right? She keeps going slow, slow. So puts her hand out. Deer comes up, puts its chin in her hand. She starts petting the deer. 2 more deer come over. She's like petting this one. Then she goes like a... She has a hat on, so it's not... And she's like going head to head with the deer. And it's licking right out of her hand. She doesn't even have anything. And she's petting its face. And she's looking over like, Dad, Dad, Dad. I'm like, what the... It was insane, right? And it's going on and on. And then finally I got too close with the dog, and then they kind of slowly backpedaled away, but she was done anyway. It was like unbelievable. She's like, we have to do that again tomorrow before we go. I can't believe it. Did you get it on video? Which I, the next day I got it. She's back out in the woods and doing it again. It's unbelievable that. So I'm talking to my mother, and she goes, it turns out Sadie's not around. She's telling me that one of the neighbors cuts up lettuce, you know, balls of lettuce in half, and tosses them out to the deer. And sometimes the woman goes out there and hand feeds the deer. And all the other people in the community don't like this going on, that she's feeding the deer, because she broke down the barrier. So that's why they went and were friendly with Sadie, because it's practically a fucking petting zoo at this point, right? So, you know, now I'm talking to Jackie about it, and I go, I'm not telling the kid that it's because some lady's giving half fucking loaves of lettuce to these things. I want my kid to think she's a deer whisperer, right? And it's right up there with the Santa pipe. We did the whole thing where it's Santa's pipe. She brought it to school for show and tell, which I'm like, gosh, just takes one kid in the class to go, Santa's not real. This is really sad and pathetic to watch right now, right? No.
Should I be telling my kid these things? Like, should I have said, listen, another lady's giving it lettuce. That's not, you don't have some magical touch, Sadie. Or let her have a moment.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to let her have her moment. Think that she's, you know, has this special aura that they come up to her. But here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Has there ever been like a deer attack on a human being?
Bro, at one point they were crowding her space and she goes, geez, Dad, for a second, I thought maybe one of them might kick me. And I was like, I got to tell you, say, I thought that too. But then I thought to myself, I mean, and Jackie was there at this point. I go, Jack, I've never, ever heard of a deer attack. Is that a thing?
I don't know. Because I had this situation happen to me about 8 months ago. Lana and I were hiking.
Oh, right. You mentioned something.
I remember I came across a family of deer.
Yeah.
And they were walking. I was walking. And they looked at me. And I looked at them. And then they bolted off. But I'm thinking to myself, if they ran towards me. Because I've seen that guy beat the kangaroo up. You ever see that video?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of those. But, yeah, the kangaroos fight.
Where a kangaroo wants to box.
Right, yeah.
Does the deer have the same intentions if he feels threatened and his family feels threatened? Do you think a deer just bull rushes you, or do you think they just run?
I like I said, man, I think they would always run. And, I just think it just takes one deer, one time with other deer looking, to just kick another animal and all the other deers will maybe start going, oh my God, did I just say deers with an S on the end? all the other deer will go, wait a second. I mean, my dog, when I have four spots, I take the dog every morning after
he drops. Can we back up? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why, and I don't know if this has been discussed, I'm sure it has, why is it fish, deer, but gorillas is okay? Well, do you know why are we missing the S on the plural of deer and fish?
I know. I don't know how it happens with some things and not other. Right? I the whole alphabet, the whole thing is even with Sadie, she'll say to me, why is that word in there, Dad, if it's that letter in there, if it's silent? And all I can say to his, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm right there with you. I just, if you don't need it.
Got a lot of the deer crossing signs, which always perplex me, So you're ever driving along, you have woods for 10 miles on either side of you. All of a sudden you get to the 11th mile, there's a sign saying deer crossing next 4 miles. What about the last 10? How are you so confident that you didn't even need a sign? But did a guy go to put up a sign, and the other guy goes, forget the sign, Tommy. We don't need a sign. We don't need a sign. Now, we had a sit-down with the deer years and years ago. We worked it all out. That's the only legitimate way, right? Like, hundreds of years ago, did, like, one highway representative sit down with one deer representing all the deers? That's how long ago this was. They were still called deers back then. And the highway guy said to the deer, if you can get all the other deer to cross between exit 42 and exit 43, I think I can get all my people to slow down when we go through that area. And the deer going, no. You want us to walk up a mile to cross over to come back down a mile and get to the pond to drink? No. I got to go back to the other deers with more. You got to give me more. I got to go back one more. All right. The highway guy said, how about this? For now on, when there's more than just one of you, it's still just deer. We dropped the S. Only fish have that right now. And the deer went, that's hot. I think I can go back to the other deers with that. And you go, what do you mean? You mean the other deer? I already like it.
But I was going to say, my dog, there's certain spots I take it in the morning where there's so many deer already out on this field that I got to honk the horn, get out, and shoot a deer away, because when I let the dog out, it chases the deer into the woods and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, right?
And sometimes it still sees the deer and it chases it. And these deer are like 140 pounds. My dog is 15 pounds. And I'm like, doesn't this deer know? Like, I could, I take shits bigger than this dog. And yeah, I'm running away from it. It makes no sense.
Yeah, like a bear wouldn't run away, would it? I mean, a bear would, like, if a dog's running after a bear attacks, right?
Yeah, just swipe it, for sure. I would think that, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It was funny, the other day we were hiking, and there was a big switchback, and you could see down the ledge, it was another family, and they had some dogs. I saw one dog, and it was a big old lab, and it came up the hill, and it was really old. And my dog, they were off the leash. So my dog is like young, so, and it's so much tinier. And it started chasing the lab down this trail of snow. And it's like, rawr, 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 and the lab, and the old dog is hobbling down, like, fucking leave me alone. And my dog is out of sight. The lab is out of sight. And you, all you hear is my dog going, rawr, 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 rawr. And then all of a sudden, all you hear is my dog going, rawr, 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 like scared shit coming back. Because they had a German Shepherd. Now all of a sudden you see my dog coming back up the fucking hill with a German Shepherd on its ass. I'm like, oh shit, baby. It's like prison. This is like prison. The lab's like, let me just get back to my boy. My boy. You don't want to fuck with my boy.
So, oh, man.
Anyway, what else you got, bro? I got some things I got to ask you. Small stuff.
Rattle them off. What do we got?
All right. So as I told you, I was at my mom's. And she wanted me and Jackie to run a few errands for her. And she wanted me to use her car because it hadn't been used in a while. Nice car and all that. I'm just saying. So we'd take the car and we're running some errands. And my mom wanted to go for a ride before that. So we took her for a ride. And she wanted us to go in a store, but she didn't want to get out. She just wanted to see if she was up for going for a ride. She was very excited. It was the first time she was out, and she had a portable oxygen. And it was a really good day. So I took her for a ride. And when Jackie went to go in the store, my mom goes, park in the handicap. Because of the oxygen, I have handicap parking. I've had it for a while. So Jackie goes in, comes out. Let me take my mom home. And she goes, now she wanted us to go run a food shopping for her, a bigger trip without her. So me and Jackie get to the supermarket. I got the handicap thing, and the supermarket was packed. So I said to Jackie, yeah, I can park in the handicap. And she's like, nice. And as I was driving up, there was like one handicap space, and I saw a woman coming the other way almost at the same time, and I noticed that she had the handicap thing dangling from her thing too. So I went around and didn't park in that handicap spot, and there were no more. So fine, apart, but my question to you is, if you are driving a car with a handicap thing, but the handicap person isn't in the car, can you still park in the handicap spot and not feel like that's a weak move?
Technically, you cannot park in the spot without the handicap person.
Is that like a law, or is that just you morally telling me?
It's a moral issue.
Oh, okay there, big guy.
No, two handicap spots or one?
The other handicap spots were already occupied. This was there's a lot of older people in the community, so it was like one of the rare times where it was like all of them were being used. It was like six of them, and this was the last one left.
I've never seen six handicap spots in my life. At any establishment, okay?
Home Depot's got like 12. It's ridiculous.
They do?
Yeah, and then they got a few more for soldiers, which I respect that, which they should get close. And then they got a few more for pregnant women. I'm basically parking on the shoulder of the fucking highway when I go to Home Depot.
They got all these spots? I didn't know they had.
I swear to God, in my town they do, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think they got like two handicap spots in all of Los Angeles. I mean, it's just, yeah, they barely have parking the way it is, let alone handicap spots. Now, listen, if there's multiple, listen, if you live in an area like you, where there's a lot of handicapped people that need those spots.
Well, no, I mean, they're empty a lot. I was by my mom's, I'm saying.
Okay, if you're by your mom's.
Yeah.
And they need those spots, then yeah. I mean, how many times do you go into a place, handicap is wide open, right?
Always.
Pretty much always.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, you should take the spot because there could be a person that with a van that really needs the extra room, so on and so forth. I got a problem with using the handicap.
Nah, I know. I didn't, but I tell you, man, when the handicapped person is with you, whoa, man, that is like, if you have a friend that's handicapped and they have a car, I mean, there's your solution to Christmas shopping, I'll tell you. I mean, you go to the mall, you tighten yourself right up. The handicapped spots are so empty, to your point, that you ever go and looking for a spot and the spot is so good that even before you see the blue, you're like, oh, that's handicapped. That's got to be handicapped. There's no way that would be open if it's not. You know?
I do think they should implement a program, though. If you are a efficient shopper and kind of in and out of places, that you should have something on your phone that signifies. I've always been a champion of grading your, and I think we've talked about this, we had to over the last 7 years, grading your performance when you're out in public and you get a stamp. And if you got like a red stamp, you're at the highest level. Your performance as a human being while out in public is such at an optimal level that you get perks.
That's China, bro. I told you
Did you say something about like crossing, they give you grades and yeah, that's right. China does this.
Like crossing, if you jaywalk, they see you doing that. Then you go to get a loan. It's a little more. Your health insurance goes up. But crazy stuff. So, yeah, I mean,
I like that, to a point.
If you're making the rules, like you know, I think that's a horrible thing that China's doing. But if you told me, we're going to do it in America, but we're only going to do it with stuff like men can't wear flip-flops traveling, then I'd be like, all right, I'm perking up. Right? What else you got? You know what I mean? Shit like that, I'm in.
Like, here's another one. Let's say over the course of a year, they time your transactions, meaning every time you pay for something, you're on a clock, right? So let's say your average time to pay in and out is a minute and 10 seconds on average. I don't know where that falls. But it's pretty quick. And there's a long line one day. And you're at the back of the line at Home Depot, and then you raise your phone and go, I'm part of the quick program. And then they call you up to the front because they know your transaction. You don't ask questions.
Right.
You got your wallet out. There's never a price check because your items are always.
Yeah.
Right? Well, is it?
I love it.
Would you sign up for that?
Well, they open up another register. And they go, we'll open up over here, but only for people of the quick program. Only for people of the quick program. Right? And then you got your quick, so you get to come over. And then, like, husbands are saying to wives, see, baby, if you weren't so freaking slow all the time, we'd be quick, too. We'd be allowed to be over there. Yeah. And then when you're on the slow line, you're motivated to be fast because you want to get to the quick line someday. Bro, I'm moving to fucking China. This is communism shit. It's starting to sound not bad. Parts. That's what, bro. You ever see China on the news? I never see white trash Chinese people, right? Like they're all tightened up, relatively. Except, oh wait, that's an edit because the markets. What am I talking about? All right, go ahead.
You know who's got it dialed in with culture?
Yeah,
Japanese.
Oh yeah.
I don't hear a damn thing coming out of Japan. Do you?
As far as the virus, or just in general,
anything bad, any upheaval, nothing.
Jackie wants to visit there more than anywhere else in the world. They just seem to have a lot of class.
Class, quiet. The kids are in line. There's nobody on Ritalin. I mean, it just seems like they just have it.
In Japan, they ain't making crystal meth labs in the woods, are they? Are they? I don't even know. Are they fucking binge watching a tiger farm?
They're too busy learning.
Instinctually, they take their shoes off.
They don't even need chairs to sit on. They sit on a pillow. I mean,
but they do. They do go number two in a hole in the ground. That's a little.
Yeah, but isn't that because the
it flows out nicer though? But the way you're squatting, that's naturally how you're supposed to sit. You're supposed to squat like that, so they're even on it.
Where was it? I was somewhere where they had a guy. This was when he went to the bathroom. They had a sign with a guy squatting on a toilet, and it had it X'd out. Like, don't be doing this here. I think it was in Australia.
Oh, like they literally staying like, don't be sitting on toilets. We don't do it like
that.
Yeah,
because I guess the Japanese, when they go in to see it, they see a toilet, they do the same thing they would if it was a hole. So they stand on the toilet.
Oh, shit. I didn't know what
you
meant by that.
No, they have to tell them, listen, stop climbing on the fucking toilet.
Oh, shit. Oh, hilarious. But it's apparently, man, that's why we in America, we started buying those stools that you're supposed to put your feet on. Because it does give you a more of a natural flow out squatting like that. I mean, technically, the Japanese are even going to the bathroom in a more efficient manner.
Yeah, no, it's just a culture that I've always been fascinated by. I've spent a little bit of time in Japan touring with the USO, but not much. We talked about going to Hiroshima. But I'd love to go back. Lana and I are dying to go to Japan when travel opens up in 2043. Yeah. What the fuck? Can't do nothing.
Yeah, Japan seems like a fantastic place to go. See myself a live panda.
Panda?
Isn't that from Japan, the panda bear? Oh, no, it's China, right?
Panda bears in Australia, isn't it?
I think there's only like six left, but I thought they were pandas? From like China or Japan.
No.
Panda bears from Australia, you think?
Oh boy, here we go again. Sebastian is thinking of the koala bear in Australia.
I don't know.
I gotta look this up, I'm sorry. No Lou, no nothing. Got to Google our own stuff. Hold on, I got to look this up.
Yeah. Where's the origination of the panda bear?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, there's not many of those things left. I know that, man. Sadly. I don't know why that happens, you know? I mean, why don't they just keep... I don't know.
Okay, where's the panda? Central China.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really... I did not know that. All right, what else you got?
So, second thing was, so Jackie made this really nice cake for my mom that she likes, like this buttercream cake, homemade, awesome cake. We get to my mom's. Mom, we got this cake. Oh, that's my favorite kind. Wonderful, thank you, you know? So, that night... You know, my mom ends up, you know, she hang out. She has a little ice cream, and she goes in a room to watch a movie at night. Jackie and I are upstairs, and I go, let's have a piece of that cake. And she goes, well, we can't cut it open. Your mom didn't cut it. And I go, it's not a birthday cake. It's just a cake. She goes, yeah, but we made it for your mom. When you bring somebody a cake, you can't cut into the cake, she's saying, until the person you brought it for cuts into it. Now, I get it. You give someone a bottle of wine, you're not going to open it up. That's something they can have whenever. But a cake, it's already got a shelf life, man. We got to dig into this cake. So what's your take on that? You know, do you think you could say to the person, if you bring a cake and you're spending a weekend there, and that night they don't cut the cake, can you say, would you mind if we had a piece of the cake that Lana made?
My question to you is, why wasn't the cake cut that night everybody shared together?
Well, because when we went that day to run errands with my mom, we found a bakery that we didn't know existed, and everybody got very excited, and we went in and they got some good stuff, so we started nibbling on that right after dinner, and they were stuffed. And I get it. So by the time it came for the cake...
Listen, if somebody gave me a cake, and I got up in the morning and two slices were missing, the first thing I tell Lana, I go, who ate my cake?
I gotta
be the first. If you give me a cake,
it's not a birthday cake though. It's a thanks for having us cake. I know you like this cake.
It sounds like a thanks to you for coming cake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but no, I'm here, so let's eat this goddamn thing. I mean, it's getting stale by the second, guy.
Stale? How long you think a cake lasts?
Oh man, a cake out like in, she had a plastic thing over it. I'm saying, like, to be as delicious as it can be, 3 days, and then it starts to like not be delicious. Right,
one day you can wait on a cake.
I can wait one day, but I mean, it took a day to get there with it. This is halfway through day two. I mean, the clock is ticking. It's the sooner you eat it, the more delicious it is. All right, and it's my mother too, so you feel it.
Did you have it?
Well, next morning, I told my mother, she goes, how do you guys come up with stuff for the cast? I go, well, honestly, I'm doing a whole thing about the cake. She goes, what do you mean? I go, Ma, you didn't cut the cake. I wanted to have the cake last night. So then I brought it up to her, and she said, oh, let's cut it. Let's cut it now. Come on. Of course you could have had it.
I think maybe when it's a mother, daughter, mother, son, father, son, maybe that's a little bit more impersonal. But let's say, for example, you and Jackie were staying with us.
All right.
And as a thank you, you get us a cake.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. I put it in the refrigerator. And then the next morning, come down, and there's pieces missing out of the cake. I go to Lana, did Pete and Jackie have the cake that they bought me? No.
Well, yeah. That's the kind of stuff you got to get past, man.
I don't know. I don't think that's appropriate.
Speaking of food, I got Sebastian's Christmas gift. Fantastic, man. Pizza kit. This is what I got, folks. Sadie got her own little mini homemade pizza kit. Comes with everything from the pan to the ingredients. We got an adult pizza kit. Aprons that say our names. The pizza bag. All set, ready to go, man. I really appreciate the gift. Very cool. The wrap job. Is that Lana?
It's all Lana, bro.
Wow, man. It was like a mother-in-law. I mean, everything was in the box. Wrapped individually, they had a tag for Sadie that's like a plastic thing that this big that says Sadie. It's like an ornament, bro. It's an ornament. So, yeah, please, I'll tell Lana too separately, but awesome Christmas gift, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Speaking of, if I may, one last thing.
Last night,
we opened up a past gift from your mother-in-law. She had gotten us, every year she gets us stuff. They're so generous, your in-laws. It's crazy. Like, they mail stuff to my family. It's unbelievable. And we look forward to the gifts. They're like fucking great gifts. So she got us a candle one year, and the candle has like an alligator or a crocodile on the thing when you lift it up. So last night, we go to watch a movie, Jackie and I, and she pulls it out because we had cleaned stuff out, and she's like, it's finally time, guy. She goes, we're going with the alligator candle. And she lights it, puts it on the windowsill, and then we're getting ready to hang out. And she always goes on a phone for a minute while I'm finding something on TV. And she goes, holy shit. And she goes, God, this candle's fucking nice, guy. I found it online. It's like $150. I go, put it out. Right? So she goes, why would I put it out? I go, okay, you don't burn a $150 candle for no reason while we're watching TV. So she goes, well, when do you burn it? I go, $150 candle, when we make love upstairs in the bed. And she goes, when will that be? You know, so I go, I don't know, but when it is, we light the candle, the alligator candle. You can't just be burning this randomly now. So she puts it back out, right? It's a beautiful candle. And then we're trying to find something on TV, and we find what we decide to watch last night, which I want to get into for a sec, is Godfather 3. So we go to put that on. We decide to rent it. The music starts playing, and I look at her, and I'm like, light the candle. Godfather 3 deserves a $150 alligator candle, right? So fire back up the candle. And first of all, Coppola comes on, says a few words about he originally wanted to name it the death of Michael Corleone or something like that, and Paramount wouldn't let him. And, you know, I'm telling Jackie, see, you got to let a master do his thing. And she's like, I disagree. I think Paramount had a right. They're like, why the fuck are you going to tell people in the title that he dies? And I'm like, yeah. So we're having fun with it. Start the movie. First thing I want to say is I love Andy Garcia on a level I can. Oh, I mean, this guy.
I got it. Go ahead.
Sort of red robe, and reminded me of the podcast episode where it came up, where Garcia's in the red robe. And, I mean, it is just, it almost stole the scene. That's how nice that robe is. By the way, that was Bridget Fonda in that scene with him.
Yeah.
But my problem and why I'm bringing up The Godfather, well, there's the biggest reason I guess I should just get to right now, is because a lot of it went back into Sicily and stuff like that. I realize now why I love Mexico so much when I go on vacation there. Because, dude, is it me? But when I look at Sicily in any movies and stuff, you slap a sombrero on any one of those Italian guys and you would swear you're in Mexico. Same music, same, you know, scenery, same laid-back style. I mean, Sicily is like... Do you ever get that vibe? I mean, bro, we're very close to Mexican, me and you. I feel like that. I feel like... And then the language, Spanish and Italian, a lot of the same words.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that's why I love Mexico. It's practically Sicily, except for olives, you got the fucking avocado.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. It definitely similar cultures in regards to architecture and what have you. Language very similar. It's that problem I got though with Sicily, in Italy in general.
Yeah.
And again, if we've talked about this on the cast, I apologize, but I feel like Sicily and Italy are relying a lot on their past to draw in tourism. For example, the Rome, you got the Colosseum. Right,
yeah.
A lot of ruins.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, sure. A lot of sightseeing.
Yeah, Spanish steps, what have you. But you know what they don't have? Good Wi-Fi. You know, it's like you gotta keep the old stuff. Yeah, but like, let's update the infrastructure with some Wi-Fi and some gyms. I mean,
all right.
You go to Italy. You ever go? Excuse me. Where's your gym at in the hotel? And they take you to a broom closet. Like it was a complete afterthought, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like they built the hotel, the restaurant, and then someone said the gym, and then they're like, carve out. You know, put a treadmill. The treadmills they get, the equipment looks like it's 1973 Bally's, like Bally's sold their old stuff to Rome.
Absolutely. And they don't jog either. They don't. No one's running like outside. It's just everyone on scooters and suits.
And no one's fat. I mean, it's unbelievable. Americans get there and they're jogging throughout the streets of Rome, right?
Yeah.
And diabetes running rampant through the United States.
Totally.
Italy, nobody's working out, and everybody looks phenomenal. What the hell is going on over here?
First of all, they stick to their diet, but I don't think they pig out. That's the difference. Like, when they have a nice Italian meal, listen, you're never going to see Florio on his scooter eating a fucking Twinkie. You know what I'm saying? They don't eat that shit like we do, right? It's like, they stick to the old... And to your point with Wi-Fi, I mean, listen, I travel outside of Rome, and you know, you just get a little outside of Rome, you can't even get ice cubes, bro. You ever come into that? I mean, everything's just room temp.
Yeah, no, I know the ice. They don't even give you ice.
Yeah.
With the water, they bring water to the table, lukewarm. I go, you got any ice? No, we don't have any. What do you mean an eye?
You know when you rinse at the dentist and you spit in the sink? That water's colder and more refreshing than a restaurant outside of Rome. I'm with you. It's ridiculous. Like, step up. It's prehistoric, some of this shit. You can still have all the beauty, but
yeah,
modernize around, man.
I know, the hotel rooms. It's like, listen, and I don't know where you stand on this, but you ever go to a hotel in one of these European countries, whether it be Spain, Italy, what have you, and they give you a room key that looks like it could open up a castle door? You ever get this big, yeah, an actual key?
Yeah, yeah, but it's like usually got a big leather flap connected to it or something, right?
Okay. Listen. Get the key card, all right? I don't want to be... There's enough things I got in my pocket already with the cell phone and wall or what have you. Now I got to put a large key for the hotel in the front pocket? Come on.
I know. Well, I mean, do you know how you're supposed to do that thing where you leave the key with the front desk?
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice touch.
That's a nice touch, but the minute I'm waiting in line for my key to get into my room, it's like every time I'm going back to my room, it's like I'm checking in again.
I know. A lot of people disagree with me and say, oh, it adds to the character of the hotel and the experience and the key and this, that, and the other thing. But come on, man. Give me the key card. Let me wave it and let me get into my room. I don't want to be coming home at 2 o'clock after a wine and pasta meal in Rome and I'm fumbling around for a castle key.
Oh, shit. I tell you, watching them in Godfather 3 in Italy, it looks so... I have to add, though, and I hate to say this, but Sofia Coppola, she's a great director, but she was a little rough to... the acting was just... It was a problem.
I remember when that came out, people were kind of upset that she got that role.
You know, you haven't kissed me hello yet. Relatives always kiss.
Oh, now we're related.
I'm your little cousin.
But I gotta hit Andy Garcia again. Now, I've seen Andy Garcia on the golf course. Did I tell you this?
I think you did tell me off air that you saw him.
Okay, so when I was golfing at this golf course, and I've seen him three separate times, right?
Yeah.
The people I was golfing with knew him. So it's like we kind of drove up. Hey, Andy, what's going on? Like, hey,
how you doing, fellas? I like him. I'm trying to do an impression.
It's good. It's good. The way this guy dresses on the golf course is an inspiration.
It's cool as I would imagine.
He was wearing a fedora with a feather in it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
A vest, you know, like one of those Montclair vests, like kind of like feathered down, like a vest with some ribs to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a collared long sleeve shirt. And to top it off, a cigar.
Oh, God. He's practically playing one of his characters, bro. Right there on the course. Now, shades or no shades for Andy?
When I saw him, he had shades on, and then the footwear, bro, where I found out where he got these shoes, I got myself a pair. But I found out where he got the whole outfit.
I love it, man.
He's got like these spats shoes. They're white, and on the toe, it's black. You know what I'm saying? It's got like it's almost got like a 1950s look to it. Yeah. So I'm like, this guy looks tremendous.
I'm wondering, like, you think he's buying the stuff, or you think people are like, Andy, comes into the clubhouse, and they're like, got some pants for you, man.
Okay. So my golf attire, I'll tell you the name of the company, G4, G4E, right?
Uh-huh.
The best golf clothes you can get. because they don't look like golf clothes. You know, the typical golfer wears the, you know, maybe a khaki pant, a black pant.
Yeah.
With a, maybe a, this has got some flair to it.
Yeah.
And the way Garcia pulls it off, even if you don't, like, I'm not a good golfer, but I feel if you look like you know what you're doing, people just take notice, right? I mean, I could get by. I could, you know, I could hit them straight, and sometimes I flare it out. You know, sometimes I'm not that good, but I feel if you got the outfit, like, I don't even know if he's a good golfer or not. I don't even know if he's a good golfer. I didn't even see him hit it. But the way he looked, I'm like, what a look.
What a look. And really, all you have to do, which every golfer, good or bad, can do, is just have one good swing. And if the person's watching you for that one swing and you're dressed the way you are, if the ball goes where it's supposed to, I think you're fantastic. You're probably a fucking semi-pro. I mean, it's all part of it.
I think you're totally correct on that. And how nice would it be to see a guy on the pro tour that dresses like this, that dresses with a fedora, maybe smoking a cigar on the way to 17.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Is that even allowed? How cool would that be if cigars, it's like Tiger Woods is handing the caddy the cigar to hold.
Yeah, and the caddy's got an ashtray.
What about if you have one of them like 3-foot putts and you keep the cigar in your mouth, like just clenching it? While you putt, excuse me.
Right? I got to find this out. Can you smoke and play golf? Is that against the rules?
I don't know, man. That's a really good question.
I got to find out. I saw Garcia smoke a cigar. I wanted to pick up cigar smoking that night.
Yeah, certain guys do make a cigar look good, man. My dad always golfed with a cigar, too. Golfers love their cigar. By the way, I saw Garcia in that scene before he got out of bed with the robe. He was shirtless. Dude, he's hairier than Robin Williams was. And he's so hairy, he's got hair. The armpit hair is wrapping around the arm. It's like it's halfway up and around the arm, and it connects to the chest hair. I mean, he has so much hair, he must have looked in the mirror and said, if this goes any more, I have to go to a doctor. It's like borderline fur, bro. It's borderline fur. It's too much. I mean, Bridget Fonda's got a face on his chest. I'm like, the poor girl is suffocating in the fucking Black Forest. It was unbelievable. And she probably still talks about that. That might be why she quit acting. I haven't seen her much since. She might have been like, hey, I buried my face in Andy Garcia's sweaty chest. I swear to God, I was getting lost in there. It's a bit much. He's cute.
It is a lot, though. But when he comes out in the robe and the hair is coming through the robe, I mean, I don't know how much more of a man you can be.
Right.
With just a beauty. I mean, it is a lot, but it is a statement piece.
And at that point in his life, he was so young that his chest hair was so deep, dark black that feel like the costume designer for that movie was like, listen, we're going to go with a red silk. It's going to accentuate that forest on your chest. And, you know, and it all just came together with the dangling chain. Yeah, just.
Oh, yeah. No, it was an amazing. And speaking of hair.
You got to get to know him, bro.
No, I that's one of my goals. Speaking of hair, I think that if you have a full growth beard and you're wearing a medical type mask to go out.
Uh-huh.
That you need to shave the beard, because I've been around a lot of people and I've been noticing that have a beard, but then they put the mask over the beard,
right.
And the beard is so puffed out, we ain't getting any protection from any of the spittle. Shit could shoot out this side, right?
Good, yeah.
That's how bad the beard is.
I know, but I feel like we're putting too much, relying too much on these masks to begin with as far as, like, you know, I yelled at a guy 2 days ago, leaving my mom's. It was early in the morning, and I'm in a deli, and a guy comes in, and you could tell he's been up from the night before. He's still wearing his blazer, and he looked like he's got a few in him. And I thought he looked a little off, and then I look back, and it's the craziest thing. Then I hear the guy behind the deli counter go, "You have to wear a mask." And he reaches over from behind the counter and gives the guy a mask. And I'm like, damn, I didn't even notice it. I didn't even think that it wasn't wearing a mask, right? So the guy goes, "Oh, sorry." And he grabs the mask and he holds it in his hand, but he doesn't put it on. And he starts going, "I'll take a..." So I yell out, "Put it on!" You know? And then he put it on. Well, I'm like, oh my God, now I'm part of the problem. I'm one of them.
This is what I was talking about, feeding the ducks.
Right. Oh. Yeah, well, you feeding the ducks isn't going to give me the Wuhan special. That's a little different. This guy with the no mask on is going to put me in a hospital. That's my thought.
That's freaking crazy.
And Bruce Willis goes in a Rite Aid with no mask on. Did you see that in the news? And they were yelling at him, and he wouldn't put it on. And I'm such a Bruce Willis fan that makes me think I don't need my mask because I love Bruce Willis.
I know, he did it. I'm like, well, if John McClane don't need it, then why should I? I mean...
Yeah, that's how shallow I am. All it takes is one of my favorite movie stars to go, fuck it. And I'm like, I'm all right, fuck it.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
The power of celebrity. Oh, if I'm Viking for you, I'm whipping off the mask and Rite Aid for Bruce. By the way, who wrote in? Because all these Godfathers, they're just fiction, right? It's like Mario Puzo wrote them, just made them all up. They're not based on anybody, right?
Yeah.
Why do we got to go with the whole incest thing with Garcia, like, and Coppola and their cousins? It was tacky. What are you saying? Italians bang their cousins?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I wish they would have, like, steered away from that.
You think? Steered away from that. That's where the Paramount executive should be like, what is this?
Forget the title.
It's dangerous. And Jackie goes, why is it dangerous? Like, because you don't want to pull her into the mob. Her father is the head of the mob. And I'm like, I think they're saying it's dangerous because, like, their kids could come out fucked up.
Yeah.
And then someone else said it's dangerous. And I'm like, this is tacky. There's no need for this plot line.
I'm surprised you put Godfather 3 in to begin with.
Yeah, no, it had to be watched again. I felt like I needed to give it another shot. Loved Garcia, as always. And Pacino was pretty good, but I just didn't like some aspects of that, yeah.
Yeah. I just, again, want to tell the listeners, just a couple surprises around the bend. Keep your podcast tuned in to the Pete and Sebastian Show. Big things coming up in 2021.
Nice.
All right.
Are we rapping?
Yeah.
I'm so fucking nothing else to do. What are you going to do?
Like, I'm going swimming.
Oh shit! Really? Nice.
Serafina's loving the pool, so it's about 80 degrees out.
Go play Marco Polo, bro. I'm sorry I made you stay on the line.
No, that's all right. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely, man. Good hanging.
Bye.
The show has ended.
You ever, like, have the cologne going and you could see someone in a room wondering who it is and you just want to give them that look and go, it's me.